verse 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Please turn your Bibles there this morning. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I don't know if that's an important verse to you. I don't know if that's really meaningful to you or not. But I think to most sincere Christians, to every sincere Christian, I think it means a lot. I think it's very meaningful. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his resurrection, we can come straight to God in full assurance, trusting that we're okay before God, that we're good before God, that we're righteous and justified to stand before God because of the effort of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to talk about blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Blessed assurance. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. So I'm going to ask simply before you this morning is, what is your story? I can tell you about my story. It's pretty straightforward. I was just a no good bum before I came across Jesus Christ. I did the same thing that every worldly person was involved in. Whatever I could, whenever I could. But then somebody, my next door neighbor actually, brought me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for some time I disagreed with what the Bible had to say. And then I finally came to the conclusion, because of Bible evidence, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, I came to the conclusion that what the Bible had to say, in all of it, was true about me. So I was baptized at the age of 22. And I have to admit that after some time of being a faithful Christian, there were times that I would fall away. There were times that I was a reprobate. I did not hold up my end of the bargain of belonging to Jesus Christ. But then you know what happened? Jesus got a hold of me again. Bible got a hold of me again. And I kept saying, I got to stop this. I got to start doing what God wants me to do. So Jesus is my story from a personal point of view. And maybe you've experienced that yourself. We turn to Psalm 66, Psalm 66 and verse 16, and let's see if we can delve deeper into what we're thinking about this morning. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. Do you have a story like that? Do you have a story of what you can tell about God or Jesus for what he has done for you? Well, here's the first point that we're going to make this morning. Verse 17. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. I cried to him. That is a sign of desperate need, of desperation. Something of a great need by somebody with a hurting heart. Somebody whose mind has been tortured by sin, by grief, by not having hope, particularly when it comes to the idea of death, because people are deathly afraid of death. I said that on purpose that way. Deathly afraid of death. So everybody without Christ is afraid of death. People with Christ are not afraid of death because they are already with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are already children of God. And regardless of what your sins were or may be, those sins can be done away with through the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether you are someone who's not been baptized for the remission of your sins, or even if you're a saint who was, like me at one time or another, not serving the Lord faithfully, my sins, your sins, can still be done away with. And thereby, Hebrews 10:22 is very meaningful. I can come before God. I can come in the presence of God with full assurance because of what Jesus Christ has done. So the author of this psalm is not mentioned. We don't know who wrote this psalm. But he had some good things to say that was very truthful in a godly sort of way. I cried to him with my mouth. I didn't just think the words. I just didn't whisper the words. I cried out with my loud voice. It's as if, oh God, save me. And that seemed to be a prevalent thing back in the days of when these psalms were written, because that's often a prayer of David. Oh God, save me from my enemies. My friends, you still have enemies today. The devil is your enemy. Those that would pull you away from Jesus Christ is your enemy. Those temptations that come from your own mind and heart is your enemy. Sometimes you're your own worst enemy. But you rely on Jesus Christ. You continue to come back to Him for solace, for comfort, of the forgiveness of sins, so that you might be one with God once again, where there is no better life. There is nothing greater on this earth than to be with the Lord Jesus Christ right here, right now, even though you're not in heaven. You're with Jesus right now. Did we not partake of the Lord's Supper this morning? Was He not here with us when we shared the bread and the fruit of the vine? I believe that He was, because that's His promise in Matthew 22, in Luke 26. That's His promise that He would be with us while we partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him. So this morning, the first point that we should make is we need to cry out to God with our mouths, as it is a desperate sort of plea for God's help. Don't you feel that way? Don't you ever feel that way, that life may be crashing in on you, that circumstances are difficult, that earth is fun at times, but it's not heaven? Heaven is heaven, earth is earth. And we're going to leave this place. We're going to leave earth. And then our soul will be handled by Jesus Christ. Here's the other point that we'd want to make in verse 18 now. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. When you come to God, don't you want to have a clean conscience? Don't you want to rest assured that God is actually listening to you? And yet we know that sin separates us from God. We know from Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that God actually turns His face away from us when we are conducting sin. Hebrews 6 says, if we have habitual sin, it's impossible for us to be renewed. However, 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9 tells us that if we repent, that God is loving enough, kind enough, He is powerful enough to forgive us of our sins. As long as we repent, as long as we come to Him in fullness of sincerity and repentance. Can I turn your attention, please, to Acts chapter 17? Acts chapter 17. Beginning in verse 29. Being then God's offspring, We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked at, which simply means he didn't pass over all of those sins. He knew they were there. He just decided not to wipe everybody off the earth like he did in Noah's day. But now, he commands all men to repent. All people everywhere. To the North Pole, to the South Pole, to the furthest west, and to the furthest east. Until the earth wraps around itself again. All people everywhere must repent, or they're going to face a tremendously horrible judgment. I spent 4 years as a music major in college, hated every second of it. Not only did we have regular exams like our music courses, but we had to play, of course, our major instrument. Mine was trombone, and I was really not a very good trombone player. At the end of the semester, I had to stand up there on stage by myself and play music in front of a tribunal. They did not give me a grade as to A, B, C, D, or E, or F, or whatever. They said, you've wasted a semester, or you haven't. It's a pass-fail sort of thing. He was terrified. So, not being a very good trombone player, I was already out of my wits by the time I got up on that stage, which made things just worse. That's the nature of sin. When you know that you have sinned, when you know that you have done wrong before God, when you know that you have sinned as if you have slapped God right in the face, the fear that comes upon you, the grief that hurts your heart, the great desire to get rid of all of that evil within your heart. And God will do that if you come to Him in repentance. If you come to Him with a heart that is sincere. And that's why I sometimes make a difference when I preach about sincere Christians and people who just come in and fill the pew. Because there are people like that. I'm not exactly sure why they come, other than they might feel some guilt if they don't go to services. Or somebody will put pressure on them if they don't go to services. But the sincere Christian will say, I want to be there every time that door is open. If the door is open on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible, I want to be there. If we worship at 10:30, I want to be there. If we meet again at 2 o'clock, I want to be there. If we have evening services at 6, I want to be there. If there's something special that needs to be done around the church building, I want to volunteer for that. I want to be there. And if there's a Wednesday night Bible study at 7, I want to be there too. And perhaps because of the work that a sincere Christian does, you might even be with someone whom you've invited to have a Bible study with you. And so you sit down and you express God's word to the person that you've invited. A lot of people are converted that way. Not everybody grows up in the church. There are a lot of converts who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and have come to salvation because of that gospel. So if I have cherished iniquity, oh, I love sinning. Sinning is fun, by the way. You can take a look at chapter 11 of Hebrews and find out that Moses thought sinning was fun, but he gave that up in order to be with God. Sin is fun until it kills your heart because of all the sin that you've committed. It kills your body of cancer because of all the sins that you've committed. Of all the addictive things that you've taken into your body, it kills you spiritually before God. And that's the absolute worst thing. Romans 14, 23, those who know to do good and do not do it, to him it is sin. but I know to do good. I've got the Bible in front of me. I endeavor to read it every day. I endeavor to work with it every day in the things that I must do as a gospel preacher. But I know that, once again, sincere Christians will do the same thing. So, understanding what God says, I know what God wants me to do. And then it's up to me to comply with that. Otherwise, I'm in rebellion against God. And there you go. That's a sin. So, if I have a heart of iniquity, if I have it in my brain, in my mind, that I want to go out today and do sin, God is not going to listen to that sin. 1 Peter tells us that. God will not hear the sins of the unrighteous. The pleas of the righteous, He will hear. Here's our third point. Verse 19. Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse 19. I forgot to go back there. Oh, I just said. All right. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Why? Why has He listened to us? It's the essence of the gospel. God created Adam and Eve to have people to be with Him, to love Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him, to live with Him, to give Him the glory that He needs. Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what we are about. That's what God wants from us. It's really fairly simple. God simply wants that relationship with us. But we can't because of Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm in there, you're in there. And I hope, sincerely hope, that your sins have been forgiven. And the only way to have your sins forgiven is to comply with what God says is the path for salvation. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12, there is no other name under heaven by which we might be saved. That is Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3 talks about the times of refreshing. That is the time of being baptized for the remission of your sins so that your soul can be refreshed. That is made new, as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 states, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's what we are about. But we thank God who truly listens to our prayer. I want God to answer my prayer. I don't think that I offer frivolous prayer. I don't pray for crickets, for example. That would be frivolous, would it not? I pray from my heart, which is what you do. You pray from your heart. And you want God to listen to what you're speaking to Him about, what you're asking Him about. You know, there are prayers of petition, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of gratitude. There are several different kinds of prayers that you can offer up to God. And if you are in the right standing with God, He's going to listen to what it is you have to say. Now, in your Bibles, turn way over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. First John chapter 3, verse 21 has this. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Well, isn't that exactly what I've been talking about just about all morning long? And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and we do what pleases Him. Now, I just got to ask you this simple question. Do you believe that verse? Is that a verse you could walk out the door with this morning and know and believe that if you ask, that God is going to provide. Might not be right now. He might say, wait until a later time. He might say yes. Then again, he might say no. But even if he does say no, you know there's something better for you down the line. That's how God works. God listens to your prayers and he answers them, if your heart does not condemn you. Now, if you were to go over a couple of chapters, over to chapter 5, let's begin in verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's called blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. In verse 15 or 14 then, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, you might want to pray for crickets. I guess some of the younger folks might do such thing. You think God will hear that prayer from a sincere heart of a young person? Well, apparently so, because we have lots of crickets around here. So, and if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, I know that God hears my prayer. And if I know that, we also know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. As a typical young man in college, I was desperately in love with this girl who had the silliest name you've ever heard of. Her name was Dilly. That was her name. She wrote her checks, Dilly. Went to the store, what's your name? Dilly. She went to work, what's your name? Dilly. But I was madly in love with her. And sure, I prayed. I asked God that we could be together, but you know what? That girl up and left me. She went on her way. God did not answer that prayer at all. But now, look who I've got now. She's a great preacher's wife. She tells me when I'm wrong. And that's what great preacher's wives do. Nonetheless, God answers our prayers for the betterment of us. He may answer our prayer in the way of discipline. I need you to learn this lesson before I give you your need or desire. Or you are completely mature to have this request that you make of me. That's how God works. But you know what? I couldn't do that. I can't ask that of God without first giving myself. God just doesn't willy-nilly answer everybody's prayer. Tons of prayers. Let's end all wars on the planet. Doesn't happen. Let's feed everybody on the planet. Doesn't happen. Because the world is a world of wickedness, of sin, and of the devil. But because we are sincere Christians, we can speak to God. Just talk to him about what's going on in our lives. It can be as simple as a conversation. You know, God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend speaks to another. You can just simply talk to God. Explain things to him. Tell him how you feel. What's bothering you? What's good? What's beneficial in your life? And you can give him thanksgiving every day. This is my story, and I'm going to sing about Jesus all the day long.